August 1961, Ypsilanti, Michigan. Tom Monahan crosses the street with a spring in his step. He's on his way to work and he feels refreshed. Yesterday was his first day off since he and his brother opened the Dominic's Pizza Parlor 9 months ago. Dominic's is small time, very small time. Six people can squeeze in. Dominic's is dependent on students from the nearby university, and when students head home, sales dive. But Monahan has come up with something that very few other pizza joints do. It delivers. In 1961, pizza's still in transition from ethnic entree to mainstream meal. Hot pizza brought right to your door is a real novelty. But as Monahan enters the pizzeria, he sees something he didn't expect. His brother Jim's there waiting for him.
Hey, Jim, didn't think I'd see you here this morning. How was your first night running things without me?
Jim looks up at Monahan.
I want out.
What?
I want out. This business isn't for me. Last night was hell. It was so busy. Overwhelming, really. I don't want to do this.
Monahan frowns.
I've done nights like that every day for months. You do it once, and now you want to bail on me?
I don't want to argue. I just want out. I'm not asking for anything. You can have my share.
Monahan steadies himself against the counter. He's also wondering if he really wants this business. Without Jim, he'll have to do it full time. That means quitting college and abandoning his dream of becoming an architect. But then again, he is flunking math and he does love making pizza. Maybe this hole in the wall is his real calling.
All right, Jim, but I gotta give you something for your share. I can't let you walk away empty-handed.
Tom digs into his pants pocket and pulls out the keys to the VW Beetle they use to make deliveries.
Here, catch. You take the VW. I'll take your share.
But Tom's going to do more than that. He's already decided that if he's going to dedicate his life to pizza, he will give it his all. One store in one small town won't do. He wants to build something big. McDonald's big. It seems like pie in the sky, but he's sure that with an experienced business partner, he can make it happen. And he knows the perfect guy. Or so he thinks.
Small businesses are facing a moment of change unlike anything they've ever seen, and they're looking for resources. Dell Technologies is here to help safeguard your business from modern devices and Windows 10 Pro to providing relevant content for your business's success. Dell Technologies has also assembled an all-star lineup of podcasters to create a virtual conference to share advice and inspiration for small businesses. Search Dell Technologies Small Business Podference on radio.com, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. Even in the best of times, small businesses have to be tough and scrappy to survive. The challenges of the past year took that grit to a whole other level. But this isn't the first time American companies have weathered tough setbacks. Some of the largest companies today started out as small businesses. Time and again, they learned how to overcome adversity to thrive. So, in honor of small businesses, Business Wars has teamed up with Dell Technologies to bring you two special episodes that tell the inspiring and motivational stories of successful companies that, you guessed it, started out small. At the end of each episode, we'll speak to an expert about how the pandemic has impacted their industries and how they've remained resilient. First up, the story of a company that invented pizza delivery as we know it today, turning a modest collection of restaurants into a multi-billion-dollar market-leading titan. By committing to speed of service, but never giving up quality, Domino's changed an entire industry forever. It's fall 1964, and in Ypsilanti, Michigan, Tom Monahan enters his attorney's office. After parting ways with his brother in 61, Monahan teamed up with a local pizza chef named Jim Gilmore. Convinced that Gilmore's experience would transform Dominick's fortunes, Monahan gave him 50% of the business, despite knowing Gilmore was bankrupt. At first, things went well. They expanded from 1 to 5 stores, opening each under different names like Pizza King and Gilmore's. But to Monahan's surprise, even with 5 stores, money's tight. And he's just learned why. Gilmore's been borrowing against the business and blowing the cash on lavish home improvements while Monahan and his family scrape by in a trailer. Now, Monahan wants Gilmore gone. But Gilmore's not going quietly. He's demanding $35,000 and 2 of the stores in return for handing over his half of the debt-ridden pizza chain. Monahan is sitting across from his attorney, who he hopes can find a solution, but the solemn expression on the attorney's face telegraphs trouble.
Tom, I've looked at everything, and it's bad. Gilmore's bankrupt, so all the debt is in your name. It's your debt, not his. To get rid of him, you'll have to give him exactly what he wants. Look, my advice, wipe the slate clean by declaring yourself bankrupt.
Monahan recoils. He's appalled at the idea of becoming the kind of guy who doesn't pay his bills.
No. No, forget it. I can work my way out of this. Just get that parasite out of my hair and watch me.
In March 1965, Monahan gets rid of Gilmore and becomes the sole owner of a mountain of debt and 3 pizza joints with mismatched names. He flings himself into fixing the business. His first step is to give his new stores a new shared name, Domino's. Then he hits the road in search of inspiration. It's 1965. And in Detroit, Monahan drives one of Domino's beaten-up cars through the busy streets. In the passenger seat, his wife wrestles with a tattered, out-of-date roadmap.
Next left. Oh, no, no, no. Right. Go right.
The car behind honks as Monahan wavers between lanes.
Left or right? Which is it?
Right. Definitely right.
Monahan turns right. Just ahead, they see their destination. Mamma Mia Pizza. For weeks, the Monahans have been touring Michigan, checking out every pizzeria, looking for inspiration. Most of the pizzeria owners he meets on his travels are happy to exchange tips. They figure Monahan's stores are located far away and don't threaten their own business. Monahan's learned lots, from new tricks for keeping dough fresh to clever ways to avoid misshapen pies. Maybe Mamma Mia has another nugget to share. As Monahan parks, his wife smiles at the sign over the door.
Oh, look, this place also has the best pizza in all Michigan.
The Monahans smirk. They've learned that everyone thinks they make the best pizza. Then the expression on the face of Monahan's wife turns to puzzlement.
Why do they all think their pizza's the greatest? They can't all be the best.
It's a good question. Monahan ponders it for a moment. And then he hits on the reason.
It's because they only get feedback from their own customers. Think about it. People who don't enjoy your pizza just stop buying from you. So the only customers you hear from are those who already like what you do. That's why I think I make great pizza, but maybe I don't.
From that point on, Monahan resolves to be more objective. He starts running taste tests to figure out which ingredients, sauce recipes, and cooking processes are really the best. His reconnaissance trips to other pizzerias also convince him that delivery is the best way for Domino's to stand out from the crowd. so he strips away everything that works against his company's promise of hot pizza, delivered fast. He slashes back the menu until all Domino's offers is one size of pizza and Coca-Cola, nothing else. He spends weeks rearranging the kitchens over and over, finding new ways to shave precious seconds off preparation and cooking times. He also fixes the boxes. In 1965, delivery pizza arrives in flimsy cake boxes that lose heat fast, can't be stacked on top of each other, and fall apart when they get soggy. Monahan persuades his box supplier to develop a sturdier box made from corrugated cardboard that will keep pizza safe and warm. In time, the whole pizza delivery industry will follow Domino's lead. As he streamlines and accelerates operations, Domino's grows. By 1968, Monahan's cleared the debt Gilmore left him and is selling his first franchises. After years of struggle, Monahan feels like he's heading for the big time, but then disaster strikes. 3:30 a.m., February 8, 1968, Ypsilanti, Michigan. Monahan tightens his grip on the steering wheel of his car as he corners hard, then floors it down the empty street. His heart pounds as he races down the town's snow-covered sidewalks. He mutters a prayer under his breath. Please, Lord, don't abandon me now. Please be with me tonight. The tires scream again as the car skids onto Cross Street. As he speeds toward the center of town, he sees his pizzeria, and his stomach sinks.
Oh, no! No, 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 no!
Monahan slams his hand against the steering wheel. Up ahead, he sees the flashing lights of the fire engines next to Domino's original store and headquarters. A plume of dark smoke rises into the night sky. Monahan brakes, leaps out of the car, and runs toward the smoldering building. A fireman moves to block his path.
Whoa there, buddy. Where do you think you're going?
That's my pizza place. I'm the owner of Domino's. How bad is it? How bad?
Before the fireman can answer, a wall of flame erupts from the ground floor and races up the side of the building. Tom gasps and staggers backwards as the firemen scramble for their hoses. He can't believe his eyes. It's taken 7 years to get his pizza delivery empire on the right track. Finally, things were picking up. But the world's just knocked him right back down again. Summer, 1970. On the grounds of an old factory in Ypsilanti, Monahan enters a 1940s Quonset hut. This steel shack and the surrounding lean-tos are now Domino's headquarters. The company's been stuck here ever since its old home went up in flames 2.5 years ago. Monahan nods hello to his personal assistant and hangs up his coat. His hand brushes against a plywood beam.
Ow!
His assistant looks up from her desk.
Another splinter?
Yeah.
Monahan pulls the splinter out. His assistant hands him the company checkbook.
We need to buy $1,000 worth of cheese.
Can we get it on credit?
You're kidding, right?
Ever since the fire, Domino's has been sinking. The company's insurance didn't cover the fire damage. Faced with thin cash reserves, Monahan landed on an IPO to raise money on the stock market. But first, he needed to make the company more attractive to investors. To bulk up the chain, he began opening stores in residential areas instead of next to college dorms. To look more professional, he ditched paper transactions and computerized the accounts. But the computer he leased lost all the company's financial data. Suddenly, Domino's was flying blind. It took months to reassemble the accounts. By then, the new residential stores were bleeding out. Turns out suburbanites order way less delivery pizza than college students. Domino's now owes $1 million in debt and unpaid taxes, and the IPO is off. Creditors are circling like vultures, looking for ways to claw back their money before Domino's falls. Monahan takes the checkbook. and writes out the check. As he tears the check from the book, a man with a buzz cut enters the hut. The man zeroes in on the check in Monahan's hand.
Give me that.
Monahan's eyes narrow. This guy's gotta be a debt collector.
I said, give me the check.
The man flashes a badge.
I'm a bonded agent, and I'm here to collect.
The debt collector pushes back the right side of his jacket, revealing the pistol in his waistband. Monahan locks eyes with the debt collector. Without breaking eye contact, he rips the check into pieces and tosses the shreds into the air. The debt collector scowls. He scans the room but sees nothing else of value. Then he glances out the window and spots Monahan's truck.
I'm taking that truck. Keys. Now.
Monahan knows this isn't a debate. He hands over the keys. Monahan and his assistant watch as the debt collector drives away.
You want to lift home tonight, boss?
Please, if you don't mind.
But Monahan knows Domino's can't go on like this. If he doesn't find a way out of this mess soon, he's going to run out of ways to keep the wolves at bay. It's January 1971, and at the Domino's in East Lansing, Michigan, the phones haven't stopped ringing all evening. Deliveries are taking an hour or more. Store manager John Carell rolls out dough as fast as he can, trying to help his team survive the rush. But then, a delivery driver bursts in, carrying four boxes.
John, this order's wrong. They said two pepperoni with mushroom, not two pepperoni, two mushroom.
Carell freezes. He knows if wrong orders are going out, the whole operation is about to derail.
Damn it. Okay, everyone stop answering phones. We can't take any more orders. We need time to catch up.
After the rush dies off, Carell puts the phones back on the hook. One rings immediately.
John, it's Tom Monahan. I've been trying to get through all night. How's it going?
Really bad. We did a sales promotion.
Promotion? Why didn't you tell me? I'd have come to help.
Truth is, Carell didn't want Monahan there. Monahan gets so hyper in the kitchen that he stresses out everyone.
We call it Super Sunday. 12-inch pizzas for a dollar. We pushed it hard in the papers and on the radio. I even set up a second oven. But I forgot tonight was a Super Bowl. We got an hour behind, so I just took the phones off the hook.
You did what? That's the worst thing you can ever do. You can never run a promotion, then fail to handle the business. Well, how many pizzas did you sell before you messed up?
Not sure. 2,000, maybe?
John, what you did is unforgivable. A total failure of management.
Carell puts the phone down and slumps in his chair. The phone rings again.
John, it's Tom again. How many pizzas did you say you sold?
2,000, maybe more. I think I took $3,000 in all.
What? 2,000? That's amazing. That's 3 days' earnings in a single night. John, we need to meet first thing tomorrow. We've got to do Super Sundays everywhere. This is our way out of this hole. I am so proud of you.
The bump from regular Super Sunday dollar pizza promotions starts Domino's comeback, helping the chain inch back into profit. Meanwhile, Monahan improves manager training to ensure consistency across the chain. And he gets better at identifying prime locations to open new stores. Soon, sales are growing fast, and Monahan can fling enough cash at his creditors each month to stop them from shutting him down. Monahan's persistence in the face of tough times is paying off. He's now got all the ingredients for a successful business in place. And nothing's going to stop him now. It's August 1975, and in a hotel in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Monahan stands at the front of a large conference room. He's wearing a green baseball jacket and has a stopwatch in his hand. He peers through his thick framed glasses at the Domino's store managers before him. On the tables in front of each of them are mounds of dough, pots of sauce, and plastic tubs of cheese. Monahan places his thumb over the button on his stopwatch.
Okay, people, competition time. Now, I might have mentioned something about delivering pizza in 30 minutes before.
The managers smirk. They sure have. In fact, Monahan never stops haranguing them about it.
The secret of delivering in 30 minutes is in the kitchen. It shouldn't take more than 30 seconds to get a pizza ready for the oven. 30 seconds. But I know some of you can do better than that. You want to show me what you can do?
Yes, sure.
All right. On my mark, I want a pizza. 3, 2, 1, go!
Monahan smiles as the managers leap into action, rolling dough, spreading sauce, and sprinkling cheese. Domino's now has 70 stores and rising fast. After a decade of trials and tribulations, his pizza business is no longer just surviving. It's thriving. Its battle-honed promise of hot, good pizza delivered fast now drives everything the company does. And it's going to take the company Monahan started right to the top of the pizza trade. In 2017, Domino's sales topped $12.2 billion. By then, the small business Monahan battled to save has become a household name all over the world. In the 2010s, its stock price gains even outshine the likes of Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Netflix. The company has morphed from a lone stand to an international behemoth. But it is still a company whose foundation was built on core principles that persist even today. Deliver hot pizza fast or go home. Next, we'll be talking with an expert from the food industry about just how important Domino's has been to the pizza business.
Hey, it's David Brown, host of Business Wars. And together with other top podcasters, I'm one of the hosts of the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference, a virtual conference via podcasts that shares advice and inspiration for small businesses, something that's more important than ever during these challenging times. Tune in right now at DellTechnologiesPodference.com. And check out tips and inspiration to help your business. And if you need tech advice, Dell Technologies advisors will be happy to assist you in finding the right solutions for your business.
I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. There is perhaps no company that better encapsulates the adapt or die sentiment better than Domino's Pizza. For a decade, Domino's poured all of its efforts into building a technological infrastructure that would deliver on making ordering pizza easy, accessible, and quick to the consumer. It's an investment that ended up paying off tenfold, setting up the company for meteoric success during the 2020 pandemic. For more, we're talking with Sam Okus, a veteran food journalist in the food service industry. Sam, welcome to Business Wars.
Thanks for having me, David.
Let's go back in time, if we can. Hard to recall March 2020 and what life was like before those early lockdowns. So then you have COVID-19 declared a pandemic. Suddenly, everything that we've known about life has come to a halt. How did Domino's prepare for this moment?
You know, Domino's made a decision back in 2010, right? I mean, shortly after they went through this massive company overhaul, changed their pizza recipe, really changed everything they represented as a brand. A big piece of that was investing in digital innovation. And so for the last decade, they have been, I mean, really the leader, not in just the pizza industry, but in all of the restaurant industry, in developing their own digital tools and a very robust digital ecosystem through which to facilitate sales. And when we came into the pandemic last year, that was exactly what turned out to be a saving grace for the restaurant industry. And they already had it all ready to go, whereas other restaurants had to scramble to set that up in the moment.
I guess that's because the conventional wisdom has been if you want to improve sales, you look at your menu first, right? That's not a strategy Domino's decided to embrace.
Right. I mean, their menu, obviously they took care of that piece of it back in 2010 when they said, look, our pizza stinks, we're going to redo it. But, yeah, you know, right. Even when they did that, I don't think they were saying, hey, we're going to roll out a pizza that's going to be the best pizza in the industry. You know, they rolled out a better pizza, but what they staked their claim in at that time was convenience and accessibility. And so those investments were incredibly fortuitous because, you know, by saying, look, we're going to do pizza this way and it's going to be a good pizza. It's not going to be the best pizza, but we're really going to nail service and accessibility. I mean, Domino's was made for this moment. They were set up so well for it. And we could have never known that a decade ago, but that's what they've been setting up for.
Man, that's a terrific line. Domino's was made for this moment. Did that mean that they stopped innovating during the course of this pandemic? Because, of course, a lot of people were sort of in hunker down mode. This is about survival, not really about thriving. But it seems like what you're suggesting is that Domino's was poised to actually take advantage of the situation in ways that perhaps their competitors couldn't.
This pandemic has affected different restaurants in different ways. You had some brands that were able to play offense and some brands that were forced to play defense. And so, you know, the full service brands that struggled so much and that lost their dining rooms, you know, and saw sales dive 70, 80, 90% or worse, you know, those are the brands that were on defense. They had to scramble to survive. They had to adapt to new models they were not used to. You know, you're seeing fine dining brands suddenly doing delivery. That's very abnormal for them. And they have to create a whole system for that. They have to fix that or change their whole operation to make that work. So then you have on the other side, the fast food brands that could play offense because through drive-through, curbside pickup, and delivery, they were able to quickly rebound and say, okay, you know, suddenly we have a lot of attention on us. A lot of people are looking to us because we have these, you know, off-premises channels already incorporated. Let's double down on this. And so, yeah, you saw a lot of brands really leaning into especially digital innovation. Now, Domino's, as we've said, was already there. They were already innovating with digital, but they pushed it even further. So, you know, they rolled out, they have the curbside pickup model that they have really leaned into, and they've really, I think, improved their app and their mobile ordering process. And now recently, they have launched a test of autonomous self-driving delivery vehicles. They're testing it in Houston right now. And you better believe that I think within the next decade, they're probably going to be the leaders in self-driving cars delivering pizza.
I want to put a pin in that because I want to loop back. You know, you were talking about some of these restaurants that have leaned on some of these third-party apps, Grubhub, Postmates, Uber Eats, DoorDash, of course. And I know restaurants have a love-hate relationship with these apps. Noticeably, Domino's is nowhere to be found on these apps. Is that a good move for them?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. And you're right. It's a love-hate relationship because in some ways, a lot of restaurants would not be around if it weren't for those third-party delivery companies. And, you know, I've said this to a lot of people, but it's amazing when you think about the timing of the pandemic, because if the pandemic happened 8 or 9 years ago, I don't know what state the restaurant industry would be in because we didn't have digital ordering. We didn't have third-party delivery. A lot of restaurants really use those services as a lifeline. And that's great because if you were not a delivery leader before, you could turn to them and they could help you prop up a delivery platform. Now, however, you know, the flip side of that is, as we all know, these delivery services will take, you know, 25-30% off the top of every order. So you may have a lifeline to continue serving your food, but you're not going to make any money on that. And so that's the love-hate aspect of this, is that restaurants are not really going to make money on it, but they can still continue serving their food in a contactless manner. Now, Domino's, I think, is really smart to stay off because these guys are the masters of delivery. They have spent 40 years perfecting a delivery platform.
You know, in the past, we've seen Domino's experiment with special delivery cars with ovens built into them. Now there's talk of driverless car delivery that they're testing in Houston. As we think about this space in a post-pandemic future, what's the next frontier of innovation for Domino's? And do you think this is really about hype or is this about something substantive?
I mean, there are some companies out there that are only going to look at robots as being that novelty and it, as being sort of a show. It's sort of like the eatertainment, right? You come for to watch a robot serve your food. And, you know, you've even seen that in sushi restaurants and some other restaurants where, you know, maybe the burger flipping machine is a robot and it's kind of fun. But the fact of the matter is, when you think about the opportunity in robotics and you think about the opportunity in autonomous vehicles, if you can send a drone in a straight line from your restaurant to the customer's house and deliver their food that way, I mean, the opportunity really is limitless.
Sam Okus is a veteran journalist in the food service industry. Sam, thanks so much for speaking with us on Business Wars.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks, David.
From Wondery, this is Business Wars. This special episode is brought to you by Dell Technologies. If you like our show, please give us a 5-star rating and a review, and be sure to tell your friends. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, the Wondery app, or wherever you're listening right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen 1 week early and ad-free. Another way you can support the show is by filling out a small survey at wondery.com/survey and tell us which business stories you'd like to hear. A quick note about recreations you've been hearing. In most cases, we can't know exactly what was said. Those scenes are dramatizations, but they are based on historical research. I'm your host, David Brown. Tristan Donovan wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Edited and produced by Emily Frost. Voice acting by Michelle Phillippe. Sound design by Kyle Randall. Kate Young is our associate producer. Our producer is Dave Schilling. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman and Marshall Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this special episode of Business Wars. And remember, if you're a small business looking for resources, Dell Technologies is here to help safeguard your business with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro and to provide relevant content for your business's success. Speaking of which, Dell Technologies Small Business Podference is available on radio.com, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Tune in there or at DellTechnologiesPodference.com for tips and inspiration to help your business.